Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
You'll have to wait till Friday for headlines edition. The minute I saw Robert Saleh at practice yesterday, because practice was late, so it was not, didn't kick off while we were doing the show, so I was able to go to it. Walked into the Hudson Center, saw this guy in a black lightweight hoodie and black yoga pants, and thought, that's yoga Robert pants. Saleh. Yeah, I don't know, workout pants, they were black. They were tapered at the bottom. He's in good shape now. The first thought I had was, Robert Saleh, what are you doing here? Edition. And I see that's on the show sheet, too. I'm Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you could possibly need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. That's what allows you to get your podcast of this show where you get all your other podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, in his farewell performance for the week, is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the color analyst voice of the Badgers radio network. I'm telling you, you will enjoy your Badgers viewing experience more if you use the Varsity app to sync up the radio telecast with the TV. He's also a Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing? Any idea what this is for?
I didn't even finish my... You didn't really want to know how I was doing. You were so eager to show us your shirt.
You see that?
7125.
Is there a, wedding coming up next year on July 1st that you're getting ready for?
Maybe. Put that out there, Jesse, on social. We'll talk about it later. Just a little riddle to see if y'all can figure out why I'm wearing that sweatshirt that I am.
Because it's free.
Nothing is free, Jason. I don't know how many times I have to teach you this. I've paid for this. Well, I can't even give you any hints because I want you just to guess what it might be. So how are you doing? I was so pleased. I woke up this morning to a absolutely wonderful text message from you and from Jesse, and you done good. I'm excited for everybody to get a little snippet of tomorrow. Even though you complained a lot about having to do it, it's going to be, you done good, is my point.
I appreciate that very much. I think I know what that is, even before Joshy texted our group. So I think I know what it is, but I don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
A digi only, if you will, or Jesse, I don't know if you want to do something fun on Facebook with it, but go for it.
We're gonna talk about something that might be related to it later in the show, so we'll unveil it at that time. We'll let people guess for a little while.
So again, the sweatshirt that Tausch is wearing bears the 4-digit code of 7125. 7125. Could you stop arching your back in that manner? What are you trying
to do? Those are words that... Those are words you... I want to show the numbers. Got the camera. Yeah.
Well, what if you... That would be the approach that I would have taken.
Stop being so critical.
Stop criticizing me. I'm sensitive. You're hurting my feelings. All right. Speaking of feelings, if you brought in Robert Saleh to your coaching staff and there weren't pre-existing relationships that existed and you didn't put some interesting guardrails on his role of how he's going to contribute to your team, this feels like the kind of thing that could maybe create some sensitive feelings and some irritation among some.
Feelings.
Nothing more than feelings. But this feels to me like the perfect scenario to do this. And a win-win-win-win-win for everyone.
It seems real early to me for Bob Saleh. Like, he just got fired a week ago. Take a blow.
2 weeks.
Come back after Thanksgiving and do this. Like, it seems a little rushed, and I don't have anything else to do. I need to go do this. Like, I'm totally on board with the move, by the way. I like it. Even though when you sent that text yesterday, I thought you were talking about Tark Saleh. You said, Saleh's up here. Okay, what the hell's Tark doing at a Packers practice? But whatever. And so for this, I think the big thing here is I want to keep my head football coach happy. Mm-hmm. I want to have him refreshed. I want to see him challenged. And I think Bob Saleh is probably the best person that you could possibly have to come in, poke holes at everything he's doing offensively. You know, when I was on with Vinny and Eric this morning, can also sit back, have a beer out in the backyard with your best buddy, and you can tell old Aaron Rodgers war stories. You have something that binds you together, mm-hmm. that Matt LaFleur can vent and have these conversations that he can't with anybody else. So if you can get Matt LaFleur even more, I guess, just energized and challenged. And it is no, and I thought the big caveat was saying I'm having him do anything with Jeff Hafley in this defense. Now, if Jeff Hafley wants to ask him some questions, great. But Jeff Hafley deserves the right to have this be his and not have any little shadow over the top. And that's why I thought it was maybe a little brushed. I like this whole concept. I like it a lot. And I kind of figured it would be him or Shanahan, somebody who's going to pull him in. But take a blow, dude. Like, give yourself a month. Go on a nice vacation. Get decompress and come back completely recharged. I get that he's probably really irritated and motivated, and I understand all that. But just come back at Thanksgiving and let it rip for the run. And maybe that will be kind of the timing. I don't know how much work he's going to be putting in, but my guess, he's a ball coach. He's going to be in there. He's going to be grinding, and he's going to just get to it because he's going to want to help his buddy win a championship.
So a couple of things, and then we're going to do a little Did You Hear This from Matt LaFleur's press conference so you can hear his reasoning up front. Tausch, your point is the best one and the most important one, that he is going to have Robert Saleh work on the offensive side of the football, poking holes in their offense. Hey, if I was the defensive coordinator preparing for you, here's what I would do. Here are the weaknesses I see. Jordan Love, you've thrown 8 interceptions. Here's what I'm going to do to try and bait you into more interceptions. Now, remember, all the connectivity with Saleh here and the coaching staff. Obviously, it starts with Matt LaFleur. Roommates, while they were coaching together at Central Michigan in 2004, they become best friends. Domofsky tells a great story of them having to park cars for who's the LSU coach now? He was at Notre Dame.
Kelly.
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, and Brian Kelly treating him like crap, by the way, as they were parking cars for a party at his house. But LaFleur is the best man in his wedding. They stay close throughout their careers. And Robert Saleh, he credits for getting him into the NFL, helping him get that job with the Texans in 2008. But the connections, that's just the beginning. Saleh's going to work on the offensive side of the ball. Well, the offensive coordinator is Adam Stenovich. They worked together in San Francisco in 2017 and 2018, so they know each other. Jeff Hafley is the defensive coordinator. They worked together in San Francisco. Jeff Hafley views him as one of his mentors in coaching. So that pre-existing relationship is there. But to me, the most important thing is what Tausch said. Yes, they have distinguished him as he's going to work with the offense. But do you really think that if Jeff Hafley is working on a new blitz package and Bob walks by his door, you don't think Jeff Hafley's going to say, "Bob, come here for a sec. I want to run this idea by you"? Of course he's going to. And so that's why I don't see this as being having much, if any, downside at all. Now, to your point about taking a breath, he was out of football for 2 weeks. Did you know Robert Saleh and his wife have 7 children?
Jeez. No. How would I know?
What?
5 sons, 2 daughters. Well, I did a little research. So I'm thinking...
They're not all staying at LaFleur's, are they?
No, they're not. They're all back home. So he's heading back tomorrow. But and look, you spent a month in California. You missed your kids. You came back eventually. Like, I'm guessing that after 2 weeks of having dad at home, Mrs. Saleh was like, "Okay, we got to find something for you to do. We have a pretty good operation here, and you're gumming up the works a little bit." Matt LaFleur said very explicitly to Robert Saleh after the Jets fired him. He said he reached out to him, quote, immediately, and told him that, hey, there's something here for you if you want to get back into it. But LaFleur also said that he recommended, hey, just take some time, man. Go on a trip or something.
Take a beat. You know what? Head to Galena. Go down and check out Galena.
I hear that's underwhelming.
The little kitschy spots. And just get away to Galena. Get out of the Driftless area. Oh, my gosh.
So I think he did that, and now he wants to be around ball. Like, I don't blame him for that. He may do what Campy's doing. Because Campy...
No, he'll be more involved.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how much he's here on a weekly basis.
You know. You just said it. He's got his whole buddy, like, some of his best buddies in the world. Like, you want to be around... You love football. Coaches are sick. I've told you this.
Coaches have a sickness.
They love it. This is their life. James Campen, take a look. He can't get away. Guys can't stop. The only time they stop is when there's no options. I mean, there's been plenty of coaches. Some of my old guys that I'm defensive coordinator, and often they would go and coach at West McNeese State, and they just want to go coach ball because it's what they do. That's Bob Saleh, and he's got a great opportunity to chop it up with some of his best buddies, get back in there, not get out of the realm of coaching so that he can get back in as a full-time guy. But it just shows you, A, that bond that those guys have, and B, coaches are sick, man. Coaches are a rare breed. They love this to the nth degree, and it's just what they do. The fact that he's got 7 kids and he is not, I mean, just think of that. You could just sit back, enjoy your kids for 3 or 4 months, get through the holiday season, jump in January. You still have 2 regular season games. He just wants to be back coaching ball. And his wife probably recognizes he's going to be miserable around here. Mm-hmm. He's going to, as you said, throw things off. So it's just a different mentality. So I get it. I understand it. It's a tough deal when you get booted. And when you have somebody that can kind of throw you a lifeline and say, hey, come on back in, Bob. And you love the guy like you do. I think it's going to end up being – it's going to be awesome for Green Bay and Matt. I just think he should have taken a beat. Had a Thanksgiving dinner, fly back out. Eat a dinner. Go to Galena. Head to Dubuque. I don't care where you, but somewhere nearby, and then just shoot up the road.
What is your thing with dinners this week?
And taking a beat.
Isn't that a great way to relax and just kind of to decompress? Go sit down, take a beat, have a dinner, sit back and relax.
Yesterday's Jordan Love doesn't have to be Superman. Go out with Lois Lane and have a dinner. Robert Sala, thanks for coming to Green Bay, but why don't you go have dinner first? Like, what's with dinner?
I don't know. I had a great dinner at Cut. I think it's in my head. Maybe that's what it is.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Robert Sala at Casa de LaFleur sits down for dinner, or they're sitting out on LaFleur's back deck having a cigar or having a glass of wine or whatever it might be. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to hear the conversation about Aaron Rodgers. I tried to tell you, Bobby. I'm really curious as to how that conversation. Isn't that the thing that you're most curious about here? That's it for me. And it's like first by a mile. What were those conversations like?
Well, you love Aaron Rodgers, so that's probably.
Well,
I'm
talking about two guys that obviously had some challenging moments with him. So that's why I love that story.
No, it would be intriguing to get an idea of how that all shook out. And I'm guessing there's a lot of commonalities in that in how that all played itself out the way that it did. Matt LaFleur came out on top. Bob Sala. Maybe Bob Sala will end up coming out on top, too. And this could be a springboard to helping this offense get more consistent and not have as many three and outs. So I just look at this, again, from the Packers standpoint. You know that this is a good dude, someone that the head football coach respects and loves, and is going to bring him a level of companionship and just, I guess, comfort that is going to help him probably be even more focused and better at his job because Bob Sala is coming in. It's such a no-brainer move to me that when it happened, I don't think anybody should have been surprised. Again, just the fact that it's 10 days later just blows my mind.
So Dave and Aaron with an interesting question, and then we'll get to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and play a little Did You Hear This, the Matt LaFleur, Robert Sala edition. I was hoping Robert Sala would talk with us. They did not announce this. He has not been officially hired, per se.
Oh, but they threw you guys. Bob Sala was chum yesterday. He threw that out there. Let you sharks just run. Hey, it could have easily put him in the Hudson Center till you all left. They wanted that.
Well, we were in
there.
The Hudson Center
first. They needed that out there.
Yeah, look, like I said, I walked in there. We're in the Hudson Center, and then they go out to practice on Clark Hinkle. And there's like a period where they run some stuff that we're not allowed to see because it's top secret. But, yeah, Robert Sala, he was the first person. I saw him right away. I was like, oh, my God, Robert Sala is here. And that's when I texted you. Because you're also not allowed to tweet. So I wanted to let you guys know so you knew you had a storyline coming for your future radio appearances during the day.
Why are you not allowed to tweet?
Not allowed to tweet until we're kicked out of practice. That's the rule. What I do, and I think there are some other folks that are curious about the dynamic and whatever else, I don't know the contract language of Robert Sala's deal with the Jets. But traditionally, when you get fired, you get your whole salary that you were owed for the remainder of your contract.
As long as you're a coach and not a player.
But, right. You can double dip as a player, which is great. Ricky Jean-Francois to invest more money.
Seems like Bob Sala's double dipping right now.
Well, so here's the thing. If he has offset language in his contract that says that whatever he makes in his next job is deducted from what the Jets owe him. If I'm Robert Sala, I'm saying,
$2.
Here, you can pay me in Packers Pro Shop gift cards. I don't care. I want every penny that Woody Johnson owes me, I want to make him pay for firing me after five games. So on top of everything else, potentially you get one of the top defensive minds. You can quibble with his head coaching track record, obviously, but you get a top flight defensive coordinator onto your staff to help your team, and you don't have to pay him a penny, potentially. Seems like a pretty good idea to me.
It's a no-brainer. And yes, it's usually offset, and that's why they give the consultant role or analyst, because then typically that's not a coaching role, and there's always ways for other teams. Usually you fire somebody, you can quibble all you want. Pay the man his money, let him go about his life. This is what Bob Sala wants to do, so let's
go. Yeah, take a beat or don't. He took a beat. He took 2 weeks, and then he didn't quit. Then he went and got another job instead that he's not being paid for, potentially. All right, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur and what he had to say about this. But first, let's hear from Tausch. And I think Gina's lying to us. I think she is. I love Gina. Love her. She's been great to us. She's been a great partner. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is amazing. We love our new window. I don't believe she's 60. I think she just wants everyone to be able to get 60 months of 0% interest financing on their new Pella Windows and Doors, and she thought it would be clever to act like she's older than she is.
Well, get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella, and that durability of materials will get tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors, innovative features like shades between the glass, and right now, whether or not you want to believe Gina's 60 or not, she obviously doesn't look 60. She looks fantastic and sleek and everything else you want to say. But she claims and says that it is her 60th birthday, and because of that, 0 for 60, zero down, zero interest, all the way up to 60 months. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
Did you hear this? The Matt LaFleur Robert Sala edition is next. It's Will Dean Tausch.
This is Will Dean Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny.
Owl City. Love Owl City. Let's play a little version of Did You Hear This, based on what Matt LaFleur had to say about adding Robert Sala to his staff.
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Willie and Tausch.
Robert Sala at practice yesterday. Matt LaFleur on the addition of his old pal helping out the Green Bay Packers.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan. So, you know, we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here. And he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So just taking a look at some of the things we're doing.
I know we've talked a little bit about this already. Tausch, do you wish that this was something when you played that had been done more? Have a defensive coach come in and challenge the offensive side of the ball?
I think anytime you can get a different set of eyes on something that you trust and respect to say, I can tell if the right tackle is back in his stance or he's doing this, they're tipping something. And anything as a player that you can get information-wise, it's going to help you win. Guys are very receptive to it. So if there's someone that is brought in that can tighten some things up or show kind of almost like a Rob Vogel ombudsman approach, I think it's a really good quality and a really good thing to have because it's going to make you better. And if it makes you better, it's going to give you a better opportunity to go win a championship. And that's what this whole thing's about. Does this move help you win a championship? I'll say this. It's not going to hurt. And I would argue that it will definitely help, depending on how involved he's going to be. But if he just brings one or two thoughts to the table that maybe Matt and his staff didn't see, because you get blinded, man. You get into a rhythm and you just start doing it. The bye week is typically when they'll do a self-scout. Well, now you have old boy doing a self-scout before that. Hopefully he picks up on a couple of things. And all of a sudden now maybe Jordan's not turning it over. Maybe they run the football, find a way to get into a rhythm faster on offense. I just think this is a really smart move by the organization.
It's not the first time LaFleur has done this. He did it with Aubrey Pleasant, who was a defensive coach who I think was fired by the Lions during the 2022 season. And they brought him in to do exactly this. I believe Aubrey played for the Badgers once upon a time.
This is very close to kind of that leasing program, isn't it? Isn't this sort of like what I was talking about? Don't try to take credit for this.
You were making trades for players and then giving them back to the.
Bob Sala's time.
Robert Sala stopping by Packers practice for a day or two is not the same as leasing Max Crosby for the rest of the season.
He is going to be coaching and helping the team. It's kind of like it's very similar. Very similar.
It's not very exactly similar. The same.
Very similar.
Are you sure? Because
did you hear this?
Matt LaFleur described Robert Saleh's involvement with the team as such.
Yeah, and it's pretty fluid. I think it's important too for him to spend time, obviously, with his family. So he's staying through Thursday and going back on Friday.
It doesn't sound like they're committed to him being around like all the time. Like he's here yesterday and today, and then he's going back home. Like it sounds like he was just like a special guest visitor.
As I was trying to say earlier, I think there are aspects of this breaking down stuff for the offense that he doesn't necessarily have to be there every Wednesday, Thursday of every week. Maybe he will be. Maybe. But my point about James Campen, before I was so rudely interrupted, as frequently happens on this program, is that Campy works from Florida, and then he comes up maybe once a month to talk with the personnel staff and give his thoughts and go to practice. And like, just because there's, you know, he's a consultant to the personnel department doesn't mean that he's not coming to practice and helping Luke Butkus if Luke Butkus wants some help with the offensive line. So it is fluid. It is, they have options. If there's a week where his kid's got a performance with the school band or in a school play or he's got a big game, whatever it might be.
Or he wants to go sit outside the parking lot and just look up at the stars while his kids are watching a high school football game, he could do that, right? You got all those options.
Or instead of looking at the stars, writing his story because he has another job, whatever it might be.
All kinds of options.
He's got the flexibility to do that.
You keep things hot and you keep things cold. It's a thermos.
Go for a nice dinner.
With Lois Lane. Or with his seven kids. Whatever he chooses. Next.
Did you hear this?
Matt LaFleur with a hot take that we get to share here. He's sharing as many hot opinions as Wildy does on this show. Here's Matt LaFleur on Robert Saleh and how it transpired with the Jets.
I just think it speaks to how much he loves the game of football and, I think it's tough when it gets kind of taken away from you. I don't think it was the right decision, but that's not for me to say. So
it's not for him to say, but he said it. I don't know.
He definitely said it.
Like, I know that's not that big of a deal and most people agree with him, but do you often hear a head coach of an NFL team talking about a decision that another NFL team made about moving on from a head coach or anything? It just that stood out to me from the sound bites that I heard from yesterday's press conference. Does it stand out to you, or am I overreacting?
No, it stands out. It's something that typically you hear like Jerry Jones say. Like being more, you're defending your buddy. And that friendship, it transcends anything to do with Woody Johnson or anything else. So, yeah, I don't think it's like some super uber hot take, but it's definitely something out of character, I would say, for Matt LaFleur to jump into the talk radio world and have a big opinion on whether or not a coach should have been fired when they were fired. But it's his boy. And, of course, he's going to say he shouldn't have been fired, even though the Jets have not been very good. So you could look at it from 100 different perspectives. I like that LaFleur did it. I think he's showing that he's a human being and that his friend trumps whatever's going on with the New York Jets.
Yeah, it's not a hot take. The hot take would have been, I can't believe Aaron got my friend fired. That would have been the hot take. I know he resents that opinion, but I think our guy got my guy fired. That would have been a hot take.
Oh,
and that would have gotten a hell of a lot of attention today had he put it that way, but he didn't.
This is an interesting question. Who does Matt LaFleur
if you do say
owe
so
more
yourself.
Of his success to as a coach in the NFL? Is it Saleh because he got him in with the Houston Texans, or Aaron Rodgers because he helped lead him to be the winningest football coach in the history of the first 3 years of regular season play?
Yeah, it's a tough call there. Obviously, both are major parts of his NFL opportunity and
Rodgers,
success.
That's not a tough call.
You didn't let me finish again.
Okay, I'll continue.
But it's Rodgers. Like, if you don't have the quarterback position right, like, it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, quite frankly. You can maybe make up for it to some degree. Right?
I was going to say something very snarky, but I decided not to. Something, if you don't have the quarterback position right, you end up consulting 5 weeks into a season. That would be a snarky thing to say. I'm not going to say that, but that would be a snarky thing to say.
How often do you think LaFleur and Saleh talked about Rodgers when Saleh was the head coach of the Jets?
Oh, I'm sure after the shove and after the unexcused absence, I'm guessing there were some text messages. Don't you think? Also, by the way, to the point that I was making and snarky McSnarkerson there, said he wasn't going to be snarky, and then he did anyway
because
he knew it was too good of a line, so he wasn't going to let it just pass. Doug Peterson is a perfect example of this. Doug Peterson's going to get fired, your old teammate, because he will not have figured out a way to make Trevor Lawrence sufficiently productive, especially after they just paid him. And guess what? It's possible that Trevor Lawrence just isn't good enough. And it's not Doug Peterson's fault that he's not good enough, but it's going to cost Doug Peterson his job.
Bill Belichick will find out if he can do it. Because I think that's where Belichick lands, is Jacksonville. He gets full control, and I think he gets an opportunity to finish his career down there with Trevor Lawrence. That's what I think happens.
Yeah, I just one other thing before we move on from Saleh. Because I know Michael and a few others in the YouTube channel chats are discussing this.
I love when you jump into that YouTube chat.
Trying to boost engagement, buddy. If this was Joe Barry that was currently the defensive coordinator,
he'd be fired. He'd have gotten fired earlier.
He'd be looking over his shoulder a lot, and there'd be an awkwardness and an issue. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being Pollyanna-ish, but the relationship that Halfley and Saleh have, I am not worried, and I don't think Jeff Halfley is worried. If anything, and I don't know if Bob Saleh is going to get another head coaching job after the way things went with the Jets. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Probably not.
I don't think so. But hey, let's say Jeff Halfley gets a shot somehow, right? Let's say the Packers make the Super Bowl. And Jeff Halfley gets a head coaching job in the NFL. Guess what? You have your new defensive coordinator already hanging out, already familiar with your players, even if he's spending more time with the offense. Like, I'm not saying that Jeff Halfley's going to be one and done, but at least let's acknowledge that there maybe could be, if things all go the way Packers fans hope, a little fringe benefit. and you end up with Robert Saleh as your defensive coordinator, that's not a bad scenario. But I don't think there's any reason to worry about Jeff Hafley's job security or for him to be threatened in any way.
Who's worried about that?
Well, there's a whole discussion here about whether he should feel threatened.
I'm gonna jump on that YouTube chat. I want to see.
That's where the action
is. I don't fully understand where anyone would think that. And the other concept, and we had somebody on Green Bay Game Night call in and say that one is one of the negatives, is that he's going to end up getting a head coaching job. He's obviously made a huge impact on this team. He does not need to look over his shoulder right now. Now, if he gives up three games of 300 yards passing and a bunch of yards on the ground, this thing can turn quickly, too.
Sure.
And that's when you have to start getting worried and nervous about people looking over each other's shoulders and not being comfortable. But, hey, it's the big boys. It's a big boy business.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. Bring it or fling it. As opposed to eating it. All right. We've got some other stuff that we want to get to here. As much as I could talk about the Robert Saleh edition all day.
Did you take a look to see if you thought your old buddy ate his boogers or not?
I have not. I have not looked at the clip.
Google it. I'd like your take on
it. I was busy making cinematography. I was trying to get to magic because that's what I felt like I was making.
Cinemagic?
Cinemagic.
Slow down on. You know about outdoing your expectations. You're going to set this thing real, and it's good.
I'm not.
But just be careful.
I was being facetious. I don't think it's that good.
Were you?
Yes, I was. It's amazing what wigs can do, though, right? Can we all agree on that? Wigs are game changers. That's all I'm saying.
Transformative, some would say.
Some would say, yes. Also transformative, your can of Coors Light, when it goes from room temperature to ice cold for your Blue Mountains.
Indeed, Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, I want to talk about something completely different now, still Packers-related, and that is more appreciation for Christian Watson. I will explain why next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I remember. Oh, I
DJ Jazzy Jelly, man. He's got some good songs in the rotation these days. I like it.
Got some new ones coming soon, too.
Ooh, and then we'll be banned from YouTube because we play them for too long. All right, hey. I have professed my appreciation for the teammate and the dude that Christian Watson is. But his team first, it's about we, not me mentality is being tested right now. Got up there, stood up for Romeo. Had his back, even though the team didn't really want him talking about him. I think he's a really good teammate.
Seems like it.
And right now, as I said to him yesterday, and maybe we'll play some audio of this tomorrow. I do have it on my phone, but you know how loud it is in the locker room.
Oh, boy.
Well, they're playing that game, the point game. What do you call it again?
I don't know what they call it. I wouldn't be good at it. The Green Bay Packers' targets in the passing game to this point in the season are as follows. Jaden Reed, 38. Dontavion Wicks, 38. Romeo Dobbs, 34. Tucker Kraft, 30. Josh Jacobs, 19. Ooh. Christian Watson, 14.
Woof.
14 wow. targets.
Well, he missed. How many games did Christian?
One.
Is that all?
Yes.
I was told he's injury prone. Misses all kinds of games. Right,
based on the numbers, it makes sense why you think he missed more.
Wow. I hope you're writing. Did you write a story in today's Wisconsin State Journal about that?
No, I wrote about Bob Sala, but I know Tom Silverstein, who you prefer his work over mine because you're a jerk. But Spoon does a great job, no doubt about it.
I just said he's a better baseball coach than you. I didn't say it. I don't think I ever put Spoon's complete work over you. I like Spoon. No,
you do beat writer rankings, and you put him and Domofsky above me consistently.
Yeah, but just like Bob Sala's job, that's all fluid, baby. That's all fluid. It all depends how nice you are to me. Well, anyways, so Spoon wrote an article about this. Is that what you're telling me?
Spoon and I talked to Christian Watson yesterday, and I wrote about Robert Sala. He wrote about Christian Watson. I'm going to write about Christian Watson subsequently. Maybe not today, because I kind of want to write about...
Not Sunday, because that Sunday article has been written for a month, so that one's good.
It hasn't been written at all. I don't do that. I just have the interview that I'm basing it off of. I'll probably write about him for Saturday, but because I want to write about Jeff Hafley today, because regardless of Bob Sala's presence, he's got the defense believing and playing really well. And I think that merits a Thursday for Friday story.
Could I request the line Halfley Ever After in the story today, please?
It's too early. It's too early for that.
No, that's good. I think that should be the headline. Halfley Ever After? Question mark?
Well, I was told by reporters they never write the headlines. That's what reporters have always said.
I can make some suggestions. Anyway, as our conversation, Spoon and myself and Christian yesterday, I said, look, you've talked the talk. Now you're kind of in the position where you got to walk the walk, right? That, hey, it's about we, not me, and we've got a lot of good receivers because this can't be fun for you. And he's like, look, I want the ball every play too. Like, every wide receiver feels that way. Do I want more targets? Do I want to be more involved? Yes, I do. Now, he did not have the cojones to say, that doesn't mean I'm not going to show up for work tomorrow, which would have been a hell of a line.
That would have been a sick burn. So did you ask him, as the great follow-up interviewer that you are, is if you are getting frustrated, do you go and have a conversation?
We did. That was part of the discussion. And do you talk
did
to-
you ask that or did Spoon ask
that? It doesn't really matter who asked it. What matters is...
Hey, good job, Spoon. I'll answer your question for you. Nice job, Tom, of hitting
Spoon.
That follow. All right, what did he say?
I don't know. I don't remember. It wasn't my question, apparently, so I don't remember the answer now. Look, the bottom line is, this is the drawback to having this many good players at that position, right? Is there's going to be ebbs and flows, some might say fluid, in terms of who gets how many opportunities. But I don't think there's any question that the offensive coaches believe that this is a guy that is more than just... Because another part of our discussion was, is it important for them, for the coaches, to remember that you're not just a down-the-field guy? I did not say that you're not just...
Great question there, too. No, Jason, legit, that was going to be another thing that I would have loved to have heard his perspective on. Because, you know, big play players, they're happy because they're average 25, whatever the big plays. But can they run the intermediate routes? And you don't want to be a one-trick pony in this league.
Correct.
You don't.
Like MVS and Corey Bradford. And so I think the coaches understand that he has that greater repertoire than just going down the field. But again, the opportunities, it just hasn't happened. And, you know,
Spoon is probably thinking.
Right. Spoon did ask Jordan Love about this as well. And Jordan Love is like, look, this is just how it goes organically in our offense. And what is lacking in Christian Watson's target numbers is the one really big game of targets, right? Because Dontavian Wicks had that Minnesota game where he had 13 targets in one game. Romeo Doubs just had a game where he had 10 targets in one game. That'll boost your numbers. And not only did Christian Watson miss a game, but in one of the Malik Willis games, he played 41 snaps and got zero targets.
Yeah.
So that will drive your number down. But again, what I like about him is that he's honest, but he's like, look, I can't be a hypocrite. I can't be saying how it's about the team and then be all pissed off that I'm not getting the ball enough. But at the same time, I want to get the ball more. Yes, and Matt knows that. Everyone knows that. And we'll see what happens moving forward. Because to me, this is the question about an offense is, okay, now you're starting to see some numbers skew. What do you do in your game plan to make sure you're keeping everyone involved, including a guy like Christian Watson?
And do you need to skew it if the offense is productive?
Right.
If your offense is humming, why on earth, and obviously it did not hum last week, but do you need to skew it if your offense is rolling? Why would you skew it?
But it's not humming, right? Like last week, offense was not humming.
No, it was not.
So maybe you do need a little more Christian Watson.
Why I was so concerned, and still am, I know everybody is now kind of the Doubs thing is on the back burner, nobody cares, but what does human nature tell you? Somebody does a big thing.
Squeaky wheel.
Exactly. And if you don't think, and now what I like is it doesn't feel like that is what Christian Watson's going to be about. He has been I have gained so much more respect for him. I've been in his club the whole time because what I saw on the field and how he's carried himself has been awesome. He earned so many great points from a leadership standpoint for how he approached that last little 3 week span. And the fact it's so glaring that he only has 14 targets.
He has catches. He has nine receptions on the year.
And you're talking about a high pick. I think he's the highest pick on this team, right, in the receiver room?
At wide receiver, yes, sir.
Yeah. So it is hard. This is where going to a smaller school, I think, is actually a big benefit. Maybe your ego isn't going to be, whoop, you're going to have. So because it's just that room is different. And that's why I was so fascinated all offseason by it and why I'm still fascinated and why I still have a little unease about how this is all shaken out. I do. Whether it's going to be warranted or not, I don't know. I have a bad feeling it might be. But if Christian Watson can continue on this path of not overreacting and being irritated and just being a great teammate and whatever the team needs, the unfortunate part of that is, what do you think happens when contracts get started talking? Well, you only had 50 targets and 20 catches this year. Well, we can't pay you what we're going to pay Doubs.
Right.
And then what happens? I mean, do you think everything's going to be all just seashells and unicorns? It's not. So you can keep it tight and try and do what you're doing. And kudos to everybody involved that they've figured out a way to work through it, and it's the case. But human nature would tell me, if I'm not getting what I want, and somebody else just got what they wanted by doing things that they shouldn't have done, it sets that precedent. And the fact that the Packers did the suspension, everything else, I think was very smart. But it just feels like there's stuff gurgling. And whether or not that lava is going to come up out that volcano or if it's going to stay dormant, I hope it stays dormant. Most of the times, volcanoes do. But when they don't,
yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this coming up. Want to remind you?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. You did the meow at the end. I love it when you do that. That is the I'm done with this topic. Let's move on. Yeah.
It's 9:58, and we still have another segment to go. Is that
Bulaga on today?
Oh, Bulaga has been great today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gruberloff says, one call, that's all. Have you been injured in an accident? Call Gruberloff. Says, no, look, seriously, I say this every week. I mean it when I say it. I hope you never have to make the call. It means you've never been injured in a serious accident. But if you have been, you want to have the best on your team, the best to help you through that process. And that's what David and Gruberloff says is the best. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. That's all it takes is one call to get the ball rolling and get through the process of the challenge that you face getting compensated for your injuries. Again, 414-276-6666. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Jesse, we've covered a lot of ground in the first hour. I assume you've got a ton of text messages. Did any pop that you wanted to get to before we get to the 10 o'clock hour?
Anytime our fans try their version of an analogy to run by Tausch, I'm always intrigued by how that'll be received by the panel. Nick in Wanakee gives his attempt on the Robert Saleh, I don't know, what are we calling it? An addition to the coaching staff?
Guest fellowship.
Guest fellowship. Here's what Nick in Wanakee says. This acquisition is the equivalent of when you are playing Uno and somebody discards a very specific card that completes your hand and ability to win the game. Nick in Wanakee. Tausch, you an Uno guy?
I love a good game of Uno. You want to have a wild card at the end so that you can control your own destiny, right? Isn't that the big thing that you're looking for? So
I thought you couldn't end. I thought you couldn't end on a wild.
I'm pretty sure you. Why can't you? What's wrong with that?
Well, because it games the system to end on a wild.
No, it doesn't. Like, it's the other team. It's everybody else's fault for not forcing you to use a wild card earlier. Now you could get somebody could drop an add four on you or a add two. Draw two. There's all kinds of different options. Now, with Uno, do you guys
play? Per the official rules, if I may interrupt. Rules.
Lord knows I do it to you.
A player can end the game by playing their final card, which can be a wild card.
Okay, so Jesse was wrong.
It must be a house rule.
When you don't have a card that could play, do you only draw two, or do you have to keep just grabbing the whole pile till you get a card to lay down? That's always the risky, that's always the controversial Uno deal.
You got to keep drawing until you can play. You can't just stop at one because you just got to do it next time.
No, I think you should only draw two because then you can stack the deck.
No, I think there's a draw two card and a draw four card. But I believe you have to, you got to pack your mitts with cards until you get something you can play.
All right. Well, I do that when we play a game. It's you start with the seven of clubs. I don't remember if we call it clubs, and you have to kind of run it. But you can hold on to cards, and it can end up being a complete blank show because you can hold all the cards, and everybody else has to keep drawing and switching cards out. It's a whole mess. Uno, I don't think we should. I think they should put a max of five cards per round. I don't think you should be able to draw the whole deck.
Okay, the point was not to change the rules of Uno. It was to evaluate the analogy.
I don't think you like Uno.
I said, Nick, I love the analogy. He's saying it's a great position to be in. That's the correlation. I agree with Nick.
Excellent. What a way to end the 10 o'clock hour or the 9 o'clock hour. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Uno! It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.